Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
Good morning, afternoon, or evening from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to another playoffs edition.
Playoffs.
Of Just Ball Things.
I know. We're in the playoffs.
I say, not for long, mate. not for long.
Shut up.
Would you rather have been there and bomb out,
yeah,
or just not be there?
Well, like,
I'm enjoying my off season. Well,
yeah, you're in your nice little nightgown that looks like you're wearing a picnic rug.
It does look like I'm wearing a picnic rug.
For those, I will paint a picture. The tartan sort of pattern, green and bluish blacks.
In the crisscross pattern that a standard picnic blanket would be in.
Correct. I need some cheese and some baguettes and some wine.
I'm
to eat off Nick's back.
I'm totally into that. If you are into that,
yeah, why not, mate?
I mean, all right. Yes. Welcome to another episode of Just Ball Things.
That's
a little strange intro.
It was. It always is.
With me today, next to me, back from the States.
Back.
Is the J Man, Jack Manuel. How are you? How was your trip?
It was swell.
Saw some NBA games?
I saw an NBA game.
Just one?
The day I flew out was the game three, the first home game.
Mm.
Luckily, didn't go anyway because the Nets got... They got rooked, Nick.
They got rooked, but...
But they're not going to rook us.
It did play.
It didn't play?
It did play.
What is going on with our headphones?
But they're not going to rook us.
That's how I can hear
I've
that.
Got a little setting on my little board that I keep forgetting to press.
Please do that before we record next time.
I'll make sure.
Yeah, it was fun. The Dwayne Wade... final game, won tickets to that one for those following me on Twitter and stuff at the JMAJBT. It was an insane experience and it was an honour to be there in the presence of LeBron James, Gabrielle Union, CP3, Melo pretending to take a shot.
It was great.
It's going to be a thing that'll stick with me for the rest of my life.
But that is ancient history now, Giacomo.
It is the...
Playoffs, baby, playoffs.
Playoffs, that's all that matters. Playoffs.
So we recorded just before the first round, the first game.
Yep.
Obviously, it is still the first round.
Yep.
Interesting that most upsets happened on that first day.
They did.
And it was, we were sort of sitting there being like, whoa, we got a lot to talk about. But the ships seem to have...
steadied.
Yes. Written themselves.
Written?
The righted themselves.
Okay.
I said written. But what's the past tense of to write?
Wrote.
No, not to write. Not to...
Oh, right the ship.
To right the ship.
Wrong
to...
the ship. The ships have wronged. I don't know what's going on right now.
Shall we...
banter time over?
Shall we conclude official banter time?
We shall.
Okay, let's... All right, as always, you can contact us on Twitter at the JManJBT or at JBTNick. We are also closely affiliated with OTG Basketball. They have... got an awesome podcast network and news website where you can keep up to date with all things NBA. Make sure you give them a follow on Twitter as well, at OTG Basketball. Mate, anything big happening on the OTGs?
So literally pretty much after every game, we're doing a sort of five thoughts series. So after every game, you do five thoughts after a game. So I posted mine yesterday after the Spurs Nuggets game, my five thoughts. Catch those after pretty much every game.
Mm-hmm. Good way to recap.
Yeah, pretty much you missed the game. Five thoughts. It's very simple. There's some videos in there, some tweets and stuff, some quotes from the coaches. Very sort of simple stuff. And there's obviously a heap of playoff content. So many pods. Live YouTube stuff with the Brooklyn Buzz, the Outlet, JBT's back. The podcast network is booming and things are popping in playoff time, baby.
Popping, baby. All right. Well, you can get us on Facebook, facebook.com/justballthings. Give us a like and follow there. And jb2podcast@gmail.com. You can hit us up on email to talk about anything you'd like to talk about.
Yep.
Basketball or otherwise.
Correct. Or the Busy Man Wells Cow.
Or the Busey Bud Wells Gal. Give us topics. JBTpodcast@gmail.com. For those of you who are new, this is a JBT created scale created by us that sums up how likely things are to happen in the NBA. We sum it up. We scale it, in fact.
We do scale it. That's why it's the Busey Bud Wells Scale.
We scale it on alternative fact, Twitter fact, Wikipedia fact, or straight up fact. Giacomo.
Yes.
Jackie Boy.
That's me.
J Manuel.
That's
J Man.
Okay.
The Nets were robbed.
Do you want to play just the? I want to hear the. I've missed the Brooklyn Bits because this is technically a Brooklyn Bits section.
Why'd you put it at the front?
Because I want to. Because
it's so exciting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Let's screw
Brooklyn
it.
Bits.
This is completely out of order. Let's do it. Indeed.
Woo.
Jack.
Yes.
J-Bit.
Me.
Jack.
That's, you've done it already.
The Nets were robbed of a Game 4 win at home.
This is in relation to Coach Kenny was quite vocal in his protestings of the final play of the game where Jared Allen was hacked and whacked. And the NBA has come out the day after and said that it was, in fact, a foul.
I hate when they do this.
It
serves no one.
It happened, like, last year, it happened to us more than any other team. I remember we spoke about it in relation to Chris Herring's article. Like, no other team has been wronged more in the last 2 minutes than the Brooklyn Nets were. And it's come back to haunt us again at the worst possible time. Personally, and I spoke about this on the Brooklyn Buzz, catch that with me and other Nick, my other favorite Nick Faye, on you know all the relevant platforms. But I didn't hate the play initially. So the ball was in D'Angelo Russell's hands. He splits the defense with the pass to Jared Allen, who stumbles a little bit, and that stumble probably cost us the game to an extent. So you can argue for the fact that, yeah, it probably should have been a foul, but then Jared Allen would have needed to hit those fouls as well. And then also, again, there's a lot of detail of this on the Brooklyn Buzz, but I will repeat it. And in the play before, our ATO, we couldn't even get the ball in. We turned it immediately over. Mm. So for me, it was frustrating because the entire fourth quarter where we scored 17 points, I think we cost ourselves the game. And I mean, it might be a little bit strange hearing that from a Brooklyn Nets fan. And, you know, I it doesn't mean I don't hate Ben Simmons, Joel Embiid and Brett Brown and the Sixers squad any less. We were robbed to an extent, which is why I guess Twitter is in there. But I think we have more of ourselves to blame than the refs and the other circumstances.
You showed a lot in game one. Getting that win, I know this is game four, but you showed a lot in game one getting that W. In Philly, sort of caught Philadelphia off guard.
That's where it happened. You know, the Orlando did the same thing with Toronto, but I think ours was more surprising because ours was a massive win, and it was in a way where most people sort of predicted. When we sort of previewed the series, talking about the guards and everything, and the fact that Philadelphia don't necessarily have the cattle to match up with guys like Spencer Dinwiddie and Caris LeVert, and that's essentially what happened. And Caris LeVert has been absolutely tremendous in this series.
He played 42 minutes either game 3 or game 4.
Last game.
Incredible!
And he deserved every single one of those minutes. He was so important for everything that we were doing on both ends of the floor. But I think that it was... Game 2 and Game 3 were aberrations to an extent, and I think it's taken a little while for Coach Kenny to make the right adjustments. He's been a little bit reactive rather than proactive, and I think in that first game, in that coaching battle, you can't argue against the fact that Coach Kenny won it. Whereas in Game 4, we made the right adjustments. You know, we start Jared Dudley, we start Caris LeVert, we give the right amount of minutes to everyone, except for, and it pains me to say, you know, I said this on the Buzz as well, Joe Harris shouldn't have got the extended minutes, and Spencer Dinwiddie should have gotten way more minutes in Game 4. But, Nick, what do you think about this one before we move on? Obviously, if you want more Brooklyn Nets thoughts, hit me up at the JMA.
Well, I do love your in-depth analysis, and I feel like I should have spoken first, so that then because me following you about the Nets, I'm just going to sound like an idiot.
Well, I'll let you speak extensively about the Dwight Howard contract later in Wizards Watch.
Can we just talk about Jared Dudley for a moment?
We can talk a lot about Jared Dudley, Nick. I was holding down the Nets Republic Twitter. You know the wings photo, the iconic wings photo of Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
I made up a meme, but it's just two photos. So it was Michael Jordan with the wings, and then Jared Dudley with the photo where he's...
Oh, yeah, where he's arms stretched.
And then like, there was Jared Dudley as the Night King. Jared Dudley was trending. And, I mean, he was trending like quite consistently. The funny thing was is... Like, a lot of Sixers fans were just, like, hating on him so consistently. And Ben Simmons was like, I don't think about him. And Joel Embiid's like, I don't think about him. You guys are the ones that keep bringing him up. This is a guy who's spent over a decade in the league, knows what he's doing. yes, he's not a superstar. He never will be. But he has a great impact on our team. He brings a great amount of energy. And he was fined, I believe, $25,000 following that scuffle. Mm. And Jimmy Butler, $15,000. I spoke about the fact that if that didn't spill into the stands, I think that they probably would have just got Tex. But I think they had to make a sort of an example of them for spilling it into the crowd. But I like that Jared Dudley did stand up for my boy Jared Allen. But I mean, Nick, how much do you want to speak about Jared Dudley? I could speak a very long time about him.
Well,
Jared Dudley,
insert
greater sign Ben Simmons. he was outplaying him in the first half before he got ejected. And like, Sixers fans come at me at the JMAJBT.
And even on his 0 point game with one air ball,
like plus that, 15 or
that,
some shit.
But that's an impressive air ball.
Yeah,
that is an open three.
Yeah.
And he airballed. That's hard to do, Jack. That is hard to do.
When you're Jared Dudley, you make the bad things look good and the good things look good.
I'm concerned, though. Post-Easter, we saw his...
You are a fat shamer.
We saw... I mean, we were there during Thanksgiving.
For Washington.
For the Washington Wizards when he was there.
Yep.
And they did this little skit...
About food.
Where their favorite Thanksgiving foods... Yeah. And Jared Dudley's just kept piling up. Turkey and mashed potatoes.
Cranberries.
Like... He named every single food under the sun. I'm just like, man, you must need a ripper workout after Thanksgiving.
He's a man after your own heart.
I have a feeling he's going to OD on some chocolate.
All right, interesting.
So, calling it now. Next game, he's going to be poor.
Well, I mean, I thought that, he's
going to have the chocolate hangover.
He was great in game four before the ejection, like I mentioned. He was outplaying Ben Simmons out in the first half, and obviously Ben Simmons, to me, didn't have that much of an impact. And in game two and game three, when Joel Embiid wasn't out there, I said this, and I'm going to continue to say this. If those two are on the same team, Philadelphia are never going to win a championship. It just doesn't fit. It doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Unless Ben Simmons becomes a credible threat or gets a credible jumper, which could happen, but I'm not necessarily as high on that as some other people are optimistic. But yeah, I think Jared Dudley, Nick, he's going to be... In that first game, he was super important when we went to small ball. With Boban out there and sort of stretched the floor, made them guard us a little bit. His defensive intelligence, his leadership is incredibly important.
Well, that's what it is.
With
Dudley. Because he is a below average player.
Yeah.
I would characterize him as a below average player. But his heart, his determination, his fire
makes up
is going to give D'Lo, LaVert.
It has.
All of these players who are above average players,
yeah.
It's going to give them the fire and the spark that they need to galvanize them in many of them their first playoff instances.
I'll ask you, Nick, and we sort of talked about it to a lesser extent. Obviously, Jimmy Butler getting ejected, it evens out, more than evens out.
I mean, yeah.
In terms of talent disparity. But I saw some people in Nets Twitter saying that if Jared Dudley and Jimmy Butler had both played, that the Nets probably would have had a greater shot at winning. Do you think that's the case? Because when you add that extra player with the Sixers, it hasn't worked. Like we saw in game one, you know, no one could get their shots. But when Joel Embiid was out, it allowed, you know, the flow to be a little bit more there with guys like Tobias Harris, JJ Redick. Do you think if both of those players weren't ejected, the Nets would have a greater shot at winning, or same or lesser?
It's an interesting...
hypothetical.
It's an interesting debate, but ultimately I think it's no.
Yeah.
If you weren't gonna win that game, like Jared Dudley's impact off the court, or I guess on the court as well, in terms of his leadership,
yeah,
does not equal the impact that Jimmy Butler would have had from a sheer numbers and scoring perspective.
Talent, the rest, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, maybe it could have been a psychological thing.
That's probably the main thing.
If Jimmy Butler was in, even if the Sixers did play better,
yeah,
maybe the Nets rise to the occasion because they've got, you know, that formidable foe in Jimmy Butler.
Yep.
You know, it's an interesting hypothetical.
It certainly is. And a little tidbit before we do move on. Sean Marks, I believe, was fined and will not be at the next game due to the fact that he walked into the officials' room. So, following the game. So, the Nets...
You've got a lot of heart in your organization.
We're growing,
You've got
man.
A lot of care. You give a shit.
We give a shit, and I think that it's going to bode well, hopefully, in this offseason when we want to get some free agents. But Brooklyn Nets basketball's taken over New York City, baby. And I was there for it, and it was wonderful to be a part of. But we shall move on. Mm-hmm. We spend a lot of time talking about the Nets, and this is my podcast, so we can. Well, it's our podcast.
Hey, the Nets are a great story at the moment. They've probably got the most... Yeah, they've probably got the most interesting playoff series at the moment.
Yeah.
I'd say the Orlando
maybe
one was...
not now, but I you'd probably say Portland.
But with the drama.
Yeah.
And the
Ben Simmons. Ooh. Ben, the Simmons.
Maybe the Nuggets, actually. The Nuggets.
It would be, obviously, I would say our series. But I'd say after that is the whole Russell Westbrook, Damian Lillard.
But I would sooner put on a Nets-Philly game because I'd know... Shit's gonna go down.
Yeah, because yeah.
So that's what I'm sort of like. If I'm putting one of these series on,
yeah, they're on at the same time or something.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
I'd probably put on Thunder and Blazers next, but we'll get to that series. But we'll first get to the Boston Celtics, who did sweep Indiana. Nicholas, Boston's sweep of Indiana shows they're a more formidable threat in the East than previously thought. Does this sweep, literally sweep, not gentleman sweep, 4-0 series win against Indiana, give you more confidence about the Boston Celtics than, you know, when we're sort of saying, oh, the chemistry, blah, 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 blah. I'm going to say maybe...
I'm giving this one a fact.
I don't... I'm opposite. Yeah? I don't get any more confidence from this because of the fact that Indiana were pretty poor. They can't score at all.
Oladipo's being out is a big deal, but... I think the NBA over the past 3 years,
yeah,
4 years, has desensitized us to the significance of a sweep.
Okay.
Teams sweep for the past 3 years has been an incredibly, relatively easy feat. We've been seeing sweeps everywhere.
Golden State did
16-1 to an NBA championship.
Yeah.
I don't think that's talked about enough. Yeah. It's incredibly hard to sweep a team, even a 1-8. It is incredibly hard to sweep
Milwaukee's
a team
probably gonna do it.
To maintain a focus across a, you know, you're a number one seed.
Yeah.
You evidently see the number 8 seed as being lesser than you. It is so easy
to lose that motivation,
be complacent
edge.
Over one game. You Disengage. Don't want to go. It's even like an advice from the coaches. Don't go too hard. Too early in the playoffs. You need a peak at the right time.
Yep.
So, like, even the greatest teams will go for a 5-1.
Yeah.
Like, sorry, a 4-1 or a 4-2.
No, I get you. But overall, Nick, does this lift Boston on your sort of rankings as an Eastern Conference threat?
Like, I think so.
Because
they still lost Marcus Smart, and a lot of people...
He'll be back hopefully in the third round if they somehow...
But that was supposed to be a massive out for them.
And I think it didn't have as much of an effect against an Indiana team.
It depends
who
on the matchup,
have...
definitely.
But I think Marcus Smart would be and will be. He's not going to come back. He might come back late in the series against Milwaukee, who are 3-0 up against Detroit. Now, by the time you guys listen to this, they could be 4-0, and the series could be over. But should we make a prediction about Boston Milwaukee? I think we should because it's
fait accompli.
It's fait accompli, and probably by the time that next week comes around, the series has started. I'm going to go Milwaukee in 6. Funnily enough. Recent history between these two teams. First round last year went to 7 games. Mm. Probably Boston's most competitive series until they were taken out by the Cleveland Cavaliers. So, the form against Indiana has been good, but they haven't been playing that great. Like, if you've watched the games, I've watched them when I was in the States. I got the chance and just chill out and watch the games intently. They haven't been playing that amazingly. Gordon Hayward's form, to me, is nice. Tatum's form is good. And they have Kyrie Irving. But I think overall, Milwaukee is just more talented and in a probably the form team of the NBA. Probably one of the main threats to the Golden State throne. So I will go Milwaukee in 6. Will not be surprised if it goes 7. And I won't be surprised if Kyrie Irving steps up like he did in that Cleveland series against Golden State where they came back and he hit that dagger shot. Mm-hmm. And we have some more Kyrie Irving moments because he's just a marvel to watch.
This could be a very... I mean, you could say this really about any playoff series, but this could be a very tight or I could easily see it being a blowout as well. What concerned me about the Celtics in the regular season was how shaky they can look.
Especially offensively.
Yes.
Yep.
There was these little infights coming out over the season. I was concerned that, again, like maybe they would drop a game, cracks start to show, they would be at each other's throats.
Yeah.
When you win 4 out of 7 games. You'd never take a loss. Obviously, winning sort of cures most things.
It does.
It's going to be interesting because they will suffer a loss at the hands of the Milwaukee Bucks. At least one.
It's going to happen. I feel like that you can lock that in, Nick. That's a fact.
Yes. It's going to be interesting to see how they bounce back because I've been impressed by how Stalwart. It's just the pronunciation on that.
Yeah, Stalwart.
Stalwart? Like, yeah, it doesn't matter.
Are you going to call the episode Stalwart?
It'll be Stalwart, but like 7 times, because of how many times we've just said it. Yeah, how Stalwart they've been in that first round, but having not a tremendous opponent. Yep. In front of them.
What's the prediction, Nick? Before we move on?
Bucks in 7. Ooh. I think the Celtics can push them.
Okay.
Playoff Celtics are different beast. I think I said that before the
playoffs
as well.
Do you think Kyrie Irving has a chance to outplay a guy like Giannis? Because Giannis hasn't necessarily had those playoff moments yet. He hasn't had the opportunities to prove himself to that extent yet. Well, we've seen that with Kyrie Irving in the past. We've seen that with Kawhi Leonard in the past. These guys are proven playoff performers. Do you think that that's where the edge could be in terms of just like individual talent? Like Kyrie Irving, superstar. Giannis, probably MVP. But things could get grinded out a little bit more. Milwaukee's pretty basketball. Doesn't necessarily look as pretty in a 7-game series. The defense tightens up. Brook Lopez might not be as effective as a guy against a guy like Al Horford, who is just a marvel and continues to go under the radar as just one of the best defensive big men of the past sort of decade or so.
The difference is just sheer physicality.
Okay.
Because Giannis, I think, especially in a playoff game, you can trap, you can double, you can do all of these things across a 7-game series to learn your opponent. I think it's a lot easier to stop Giannis than it would be to stop a hot-handed Kyrie.
Yeah.
Because how do you stop a step back J?
That's
just going in.
They've got a good couple of guys in Bledsoe, Brogdon, whether he's back, and George Hill. That's a decent trio. Bledsoe has been fantastic.
I'm not denying the team. I'm just saying, like,
just
if you if you've got a Giannis one-on-one, which in the season has been proving to be unstoppable because he can just boss guys at will. That one-on-one is not going to happen in the playoffs.
We shall see. Nicholas, Damian Lillard has established himself as the second best point guard in the NBA. His postseason form has been tremendous. I put out a poll, which got quite a bit of traction in terms of who would you rather have in the postseason or for one playoff series out of Damian Lillard and James Harden. James Harden won that, but I retweeted it after James Harden's really poor game yesterday just to show the results. It was cheeky. They are playing right now, mind you, and it is all tied up at 18 apiece nearing the end of the first quarter. Mm-hmm. Lillard has been, apart from maybe Game 3, where Westbrook probably outplayed him a little bit, but then there was that one quarter from Damian Lillard who scored like 24 points or 23 points. He has been sensational, and I think that it's Stephen Curry, and we talked about our All-NBA teams already. Damian Lillard is probably like who I think a lot of people will argue Kyrie Irving is the second best point guard in the NBA. And I've had this argument with Corey Waldron quite heated on the outlet and such. And yes, you can make the argument, but I think Damian Lillard's consistency, production, and health, he's had some playoff lulls, which Kyrie hasn't necessarily.
I think that's the only argument for Kyrie.
Okay.
Kyrie's got a much better handle than Dame. I think it's just the playoff success. That daggers. People love the playoffs. If you can perform in the playoffs, then you're just a god.
Yeah. Scary time.
And that has just been the bane of Lillard's whole career, seemingly.
It was recency bias as well, because he's performed well in the playoffs. It was just that horrible series against New Orleans, really. Drew Holiday and just the entire defensive scheme, that matchup against New Orleans was just horrible. Nick, do you have a prediction? Have your thoughts changed on this series.
Portland have impressed me, despite the fact, despite their injuries. Kanter was massive in that first win.
Yep.
I really expect, with Paul George injured as well. I mean, I didn't put a lot of stock. I remember you asked me this question. I didn't put a lot of stock in this question because I didn't have a lot of faith in Portland.
Yeah.
But color me, you know?
Yeah.
Color me, what's the word? Color me red? Like embarrassed?
Yes.
Because I was wrong.
Yeah.
Portland have certainly shown some stuff. I honestly think Portland will take this out.
Yeah.
In seven. It'll be close, though.
Yeah, it's... obviously, it's 2-1 as we speak. The Blazers now have a 4-point lead. We're giving you updates for a live podcast, apparently.
Just before we move on,
sure.
You know what I really hate about this series?
What?
The whole Russell Westbrook versus Damian Lillard.
I love it.
Not so much. It's more like on-court politics.
Oh, right. Yeah, yeah.
Dame is a much better player.
Yeah.
It's in this series, in general.
Yeah.
Like, Dame is far surpassed.
Yeah, he has. That's without question.
I think, what's Westbrook shoot? Like 39% this playoff?
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Yeah, and I think that he'll have like
the comparison
shots.
Shouldn't be there.
He'll have shots and he'll rock the baby and stuff. I think we probably take Russell Westbrook a little bit for granted at the same time. But I think with the Thunder, we saw throughout the regular season. And I think that's why I was always a little bit skeptical of the Thunder. And I think that I chose the Thunder as well in this series. Yeah, but Paul George's health is the number one thing. That's all it is. If Paul George is healthy, I think that this series goes the Thunder's way.
Mm-hmm.
Paul George said that he's healthy. He said before the first game, he said he wasn't healthy. Then
mate,
he said he
could
healthy.
Be in a car, like his arm could be in a cast. He'll be in a neck brace. Like, no, I'm good.
He's
good. Put me out.
He's definitely not healthy.
No, he's not.
But we will move on. And we'll go to the Clippers and Golden State series. Mm. The series with the Clippers was the best matchup to refocus the Warriors. I'm going with the fact for this, Nick. In terms
of the Spurs could have...
I think to an extent, something. But I think that there's a little bit of like chippiness with the Clippers, with Patrick Beverley and stuff, and I think that it galvanizes the team to an extent. Obviously, Stephen Curry wasn't amazing in this series. Klay Thompson, mind you, was amazing. And... guys, you need to hear this story of why he was.
Klay, whenever you feel like you have a bad game, I know you kind of try to, you know, do something to get yourself going. Did you do anything the past couple days to get yourself going tonight?
Oh, man, I did a couple things. I didn't think I had bad games, but I didn't have any big games. I told Jonas yesterday, we went to the beach, played some volleyball. I'm like, I'm just going to go jump in the ocean. I just know that will reset my mind, and it worked. So I don't know if I'm gonna jump up north because it's freezing, but something I'll definitely contemplate if I don't shoot the ball that well the rest of the year. But hopefully that doesn't happen.
I am so incredibly in awe of this man.
Jump in the ocean, Nick.
He is a tremendous human, and we are not worthy of Mr. Thompson.
No, Klay.
Mr. Thompson.
he was 12 of 20 today, 32 points, 6-9 from three. Steph wasn't hot, and you got the luxury of having Splash Bro number two, who literally was immersing himself in water to become more splash worthy.
That was good.
Yeah,
that
was good. That was good. Water helps. Water everywhere. Let's all have a drink. I think that they have so many weapons. KD's playing I think the only thing that can hurt this Warriors team is themselves. And we've established that. You know, there's these minor bickerings between KD, the other guys, and Steve Kerr. And it almost, we don't need to talk about the free agency stuff, but that could have an effect on, you know, if they face some adversity against Houston, which could be, I mean, this second round is going to be absolutely freaking insane. Mm. I mean, Boston-Milwaukee is going to be an outstanding series. And if... you know, Houston do close that. We will get to their series as well. They are now 3-0 up against Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Then, I was listening to Bill Simmons talk with Daryl Morey earlier in the week on the way here, Nick. And he made the point of, and I think a lot of people have, but it's worth bringing up because it seems, again, that will be the likely series. And we'll make a prediction about it as well. The fact that the Houston Rockets are facing the Golden State Warriors early... does that have benefit in the fact that right now the Houston Rockets are fully healthy? And the wear and tear, the age of the squad as a whole, Chris Paul, PJ Tucker, Eric Gordon, these guys who have, you know, more runs on their legs, does that play into an effect? Whereas if the Houston Rockets somehow pull off the upset of all upsets, they could win the championship. I feel like they'd be the favorites nearly.
If Golden State were out, I would have to agree with you because Denver, we'll get to Denver in a sec.
Denver
have looked... have looked quite shaky. Hold on. I need to get my pen because the episode's going to be called Denver.
Exclamation point.
Three. Exclamation point. I mean, Denver. I mean, it's... Yeah.
Caps lock?
Oh, maybe.
Yeah, you got to put all caps.
Maybe.
All caps for Denver. But what are your thoughts on that? No, Nick. Do you buy into the fact that...
They could be facing them early...
We'll sort of divert a little bit because I think that it's worth talking about and forecasting ahead like we did with the Bucks-Boston series. Do you think that there's a benefit in the fact that the Rockets are likely to face this team early? Unless, you know, obviously...
I think it plays more into the Rockets' hands than the Warriors.
Okay, interesting.
Warriors have been there, done that before, and I feel like the Rockets are a ticking time bomb.
Yeah.
Of hamstring injuries,
We know
like someone's got to get injured in
the amount of minutes that James Harden has played, and this postseason actually played a lot less, which I think has been a luxury that they've been able.
You carry on that form from the regular season as well. I think they may have ended on a loss because I think they were third, and then they dropped to fourth.
There was that whole jumbling around with Denver sort of tanking and stuff. And I think the basketball gods sort of come back to haunt Denver in a weird way.
Keep that continuity up with James Harden. Yep. He's had that MVP form heading into the last
apart from the
season.
Last game, we'll get to that though as well. Prediction: if it is going to be a Houston Rockets Golden State Warriors series, as we likely believe, how many games you got it? This is really hard for me. Six, seven, five,
six
for GS
Golden State.
Okay, I'm gonna go seven. I believe. I
want it to be seven. I just think Golden State are just above and beyond right now.
You're a big Jimmy fan, though.
It would have to be.
I am.
Harbour.
Yeah, why not?
Jimmy Harden. I am, and he is tremendous. And even in his last, I mean, we'll get to the last game in a sec, but he can still create even when he's down,
and he can still get to the line. Which I know not a lot of people like, but...
That's what I meant.
Nick does like that as well. But he does create...
It's a part of the game.
He was still drawing the defense and allowed some open lobs for him and Clint Capela.
Yeah.
And the fact that Clint Capella's back and playing good basketball. We'll get to it right now. Nick, Utah done goofed it with their defensive scheme on James Harden. Should we explain done goofed it first?
Okay. Okay. I mean, done goofed is...
You say it more often.
They stuffed up.
Okay.
They messed it up. Mistakes were made.
They were.
They done goofed. How did they done goof?
How was the goof done? This is some Shakespearean level shit right here, Nick. The fact that I was on holiday gave me a great opportunity to just immerse myself in basketball. Individually, just get my computer out and just watch it. And the Twitter army was just out in full force on how Utah were giving just James Harden this lane. They were guarding him to the right or from behind in similar ways to what Milwaukee were doing in the regular season. So Quinn Snyder sort of taken that defensive scheme and tried to apply it to his own squad, but it just hasn't worked because they haven't had the cattle. Ricky Rubio cannot contain James Harden. Royce O'Neal, I call him Gary Neal in an NBA Live outlet show, has been their best defender on James Harden. He has the most physical capabilities. He's strong. He's big. And I think that he may need to start and just play a sort of Patrick Beverley-like role just for the sake of it. Throw caution to the wind. They're 3-0 down now. And James Harden played an absolutely disgustingly bad game. He done goofed it.
Except in the fourth. He was quality in the fourth.
He was good. What were his stats yesterday against them? Like, how many minutes? What were his field goal?
30. We'll round it up 39 minutes.
Yep.
22 points, 10 assists, shooting 3 of 20.
That's...
And 2 of 13 from 3.
See, the fact that they still got the win, it shows that, you know, Utah...
He was a plus 4.
No, interesting. Well, I think that whenever he's out there, he's going to have a positive effect on the team.
That's what I mean. And he shot 20 times and missed 17 of them. Donovan Mitchell is a plus four.
Donovan Mitchell was 9 of 27. What was Donovan Mitchell's plus minus? I like looking into plus minus as one game sample sizes.
Zero.
Okay, so he was neutral. But I think that in that sense, yes, they did, because I think that they weren't... It was the right scheme, but putting Ricky Rubio as the sort of main defender just wasn't right. Royce O'Neal, yeah, if they had have just made that adjustment quicker, Quinn Snyder had done that quicker, you can't give James Harden these open lanes. You can't allow him to penetrate right through the teeth of the defense, because it gives him open lobs to guys like Clint Capella, draws in a Rudy Gobert, who has had his best game yesterday, was blocking like a madman.
That was going to be my argument. Keep going.
But it also allows James Harden to kick out to guys like PJ Tucker, who is the best corner three-point shooter in the league, or other guys, Daniel House, Chris Paul, if he's out on the top of perimeter as well, or Eric Gordon, or whatever that might be. You can't give him the time and space, because he has an incredibly tremendous basketball IQ, is an amazing passer, as well as he is as a scorer.
The way I sort of, I'm sort of rationalizing this with Quinn Snyder, and I get it, is where are Utah's defensive strengths? At the rim. Rudy Gobert is their defensive...
He was terrible in game 1 and 2.
He is their defensive strength. So how do you get James Harden to penetrate? You give him an open lane. How do you stop his step backs? You defend on his back.
Yeah.
I get it in that point. It sort of worked. He got 7 blocks.
Yeah.
I don't really know how to check on who those were on, but I watched
he
the game.
He did get a couple on James Harden.
There were a couple on James Harden.
Yeah.
And that's massive.
Yeah. Too little,
it
too late, though?
It shakes. Potentially. It's disappointing that the Houston play their worst game. They still get the W by 3 points. Because Utah didn't match them offensively.
Their offense, yeah. And I think that's sort of what we were saying.
And with the defensive strategy, though, I don't mind it.
Okay.
I don't mind it.
I think that...
They just need to back it up with
some
buckets.
And they need to be able to execute offensively.
Yeah.
And I think that it's sort of reminiscent of Indiana, who haven't been playing... Didn't play... Like, they didn't deserve to get swept. It's just that they had no offense.
Yeah.
Utah has more offensive weapons... I think Rudy Gobert...
It's a lot of pressure on Donovan Mitchell, because he needs to be massive every game.
And, you know, Joe Ingles can only do so much, as much as we love him. I still love Joe Ingles. I don't like Ben Simmons. I put that on Twitter, and that's out there for the world to know. In terms of Rudy Gobert, it's funny how the postseason comes around. I remember last year, or the year before, where Clint Capella outplayed him again, because he has more versatility, a bit more athletic, and has a point guard who just has a bit more synergy and just knows how to find him and make him look better. Whereas Donovan Mitchell hasn't just been able to do that. Ricky Rubio hasn't been able to do that. And Rudy Gobert has almost been played out of the series apart from the last game.
I saw Gobert put out a block from a three-point shot last game. I saw it my own eyes. And I was like, oh my God.
That's what he needs to work on in the offseason. He needs to become... And it's not to say that he's bad. It's just that he's getting schemed out. And like... Are you the best defensive player in the world if you're getting schemed out in the most important part of the year? Probably not. Mm. You would probably rather have Paul George, obviously not his best, but you would definitely rather have Giannis Antetokounmpo. You would definitely rather have Draymond Green in those situations, because they can switch. You are going to play them. They are valuable. But that's a discussion for another day. Nicholas, you were hinting at Denver-San Antonio. Despite the win over San Antonio yesterday, catch my 5 thoughts on OGGBasketball.com. The Nuggets are on shaky ground heading back to Denver.
Denver.
I like saying Denver.
Reference to South Park, if those that don't know it.
It's South Park, Simpsons, Family Guy.
It's one of them.
It's one of those series. It's Always Sunny. We do a lot of references on this show.
I think that they are still incredibly shaky.
Do you favour the Spurs?
I do.
Okay.
I do favour the Spurs, which was... You know, I think I called this... My prediction was definitely for Denver.
I think it was 7.
Might have been in 6 or 7.
I think I said Denver in 7 as well.
But I have sort of been playing into this for a long time, because I'm not a huge fan of Mike Malone as a coach.
Not a big fan of Mikey.
I've been saying this for quite a while now.
Monster.
That being said, his coaching, approach...
And I think that the one thing, and this was in my 5 thoughts, replacing Will Barton with Torrey Craig... Watch wonders. Mm. Torrey Craig, as just a defensive stopper, he hit 5 threes, 18 points. He was sensational. that coaching move deserves a lot of credit. But
I mean, he can't make Jamal Murray hit every single shot.
Gary Harris,
exactly. So that's rough. But his coaching,
Nikola Jokic, be aggressive. Exactly. But he was.
I mean, you can. You can teach aggression.
And he can teach aggression. And I think he has been one person who has harped on him all season. But at the same time, you can only have so much effect. Words, like you sort of said, you're a coach yourself. Words only do so much.
Yeah.
It's up to the person, player, to execute.
But his coaching of Jamal Murray, giving him the confidence to keep shooting.
That was amazing.
Got them that win in game two,
yeah.
Which, you know, I've got a lot of praise for.
Yeah.
So,
do you think he's being outcoached right now by Greg Popovich? I mean,
you're versing the best coach in the
of all time. Yeah.
The goat, yeah. Greatest coach of all time.
No, let's go with coat. Coach is better.
It's a rough. It was always going to be a rough matchup for whoever got the Spurs.
Yeah, yeah.
Given their playoff pedigree and Pop being Pop.
Yeah.
The only sort of downside was, is DeMar going to be DeMar?
LaMarcus. You know? They've been good.
Yeah.
And then obviously Derek White.
Oh, Derek White.
Man, who would have thought?
Oh, boy.
Just the San Antonio Spurs.
How does Pop find these people?
he's a marvel. Their coaching staff is a marvel. And again, Torrey Craig being inserted into that starting lineup did have an effect because Derek White, Lightning didn't strike twice. Two of my five thoughts. If you want to hear the other three, OGBasketball.com.
Oh, a bit of teaser. Nice.
Bang, bang. But yeah, if Derek White steps up, I think that this is just a grinded out sort of series. Watching the games, in terms of watchability, I don't necessarily enjoy watching these games that much. Nikola Jokic had his best game. I'm giving away all my thoughts. That was my third thought. Nikola Jokic having his best game of the series.
He needs to be big for them to win.
He needs
to be big every time. And for you to be in an MVP conversation, you need to bring it every game.
I think he needs to have 20-point near triple-doubles every game.
Yeah.
He needs to be offensive. Offensively aggressive in terms of passing, in terms of hunting his shot, and in terms of, you know, on the boards. But yeah, they are on shaky grounds, and I think that was established just from game one.
Yeah, it's 100% fact.
So it is definitely a fact. Nick, the biggest takeaway from the Toronto Orlando series is the budding stardom of Pascal Siakam.
This was sort of evident coming into the playoffs as well.
Corey and I, in our top 50, we're super duper high, and we have 22nd in our top 50. And I believe there was Paul OTG. I think I put it out there, or asked someone to put it out there. What is his ceiling? And a lot of people were saying top 25, top 15. This kid's special, man. Really, really special. He's been playing basketball for like 5, 6, 7 years.
He's a tremendous two-way player as well, which
insane.
Is like,
athleticism, the ball in his hands, the spin move. He didn't even like. And everyone, for those who haven't seen him, watch Pascal Siakam and his spin move. It's like a pattern.
Tremendous about a basic move, like when someone makes a basic move work, that's how good, because people know basic moves.
Yeah.
People know how to defend basic moves.
Yeah, of course.
People know how to defend a spin move.
Yeah.
They're professional basketballers.
Yeah.
But he does it on them.
Yeah.
So he's that good at it.
And the fact is, he didn't even like study anyone for this. He's just like, I just did it. And it's
he's
now
got a tremendous feel of the game.
He does.
A natural feel.
And I think that's what he said in a lot of post-game presses, Nick, echoing your sentiments there. He's just confident and comfortable. And I think that, it is the biggest takeaway. The other biggest takeaway is Kawhi is feeling it. Kawhi's he's really starting to feel it. He was like sick, apparently, in the last game. And he still put up like 37 points on like 15 of 22 shots or something. I think that we sort of talked
he's
about...
He's compared to Jordan. Is Kawhi Leonard.
Yep.
Apparently, flu game.
He could have had an Air Jordan contract as well before he went to New Balance. but I think Kawhi's form is, for me, one thing I'm going to be watching very, very closely, because we talked about Giannis, we talked about Kyrie, but Kawhi's proven it. He's a finals MVP, and if they're lucky enough to get to the finals, Eastern Conference or NBA against Golden State, whoever it might be, Kawhi's going to be a massive factor. But Pascal... I mean, it's probably, for me, the number one takeaway from this series, which started off with, like, DJ Augustine being the number one takeaway, but now Pascal has just been far away.
Could the takeaway be negative?
What's the
negative? Could you get some takeaway, like Chinese, and it'd just be rotten?
So, are you saying that Orlando are reflective of some, say, like, Salmonella-style...
Not
Nando's?
Orlando. Kyle Lowry.
Interesting.
Is he the biggest takeaway of this series in that he can't perform in the playoffs?
Maybe.
He's had this playoffs thing over his head.
He was decent in game two.
for a while.
Did you watch much of today's game?
I watched from the half onwards.
Yeah.
So
what was his impact like?
Nothing from what I like, nothing glaringly obvious. Like, yeah. I had it in the background, I was a little bit distracted.
Yeah.
But like Siakam was one that actually like blew me away.
Yep.
So this name that comes straight off the page, just from having it on in the background off a glance, you see the plays that he makes, the defensive plays, the offensive plays.
Yep.
Whereas Kyle Lowry didn't have that impact. I'd like to actually
check him out. I think that Kyle Lowry, it's sort of almost, like you sort of said, Nick, to an extent, it's gone under the radar because Pascal has been so great. Kawhi's back to his form. So to an extent, it almost takes away the negative glare and shine off of what Kyle Lowry, and he hasn't been a great postseason performer. I don't think he has been, in terms of his entire history in his career, has been as bad as people say he is. I think he's been fine. I just don't think he's stepped up to the extent of what we know and think he can be. Is he a regular season player? I don't know.
Plus 26 on the night, which is tremendous.
I mean, but he was plus 11 in that game against Orlando. Yeah.
But like Kawhi Leonard had 34, Siakam 16 on 50% shooting.
Yeah.
Kyle Lowry, 9 points, 37%.
He
had 9 assists, which is
not bad. I think he was one of the top.
But that's
guys.
That's sort of what he has to do.
Yeah.
That's what he's been doing for a while. He's been a pass first point guard.
Yep.
He hasn't been on that scoring.
We'll get to a series that no one really cares about, and it's why we have it so low in the Busy Manuel scale. We don't probably really need to spend a lot of time on it because we've spoken about Milwaukee quite a bit anyway. There was no point in bringing back Blake Griffin for Detroit against Milwaukee in this series.
There is a point.
Get some home crowd.
Yeah.
Get Little Caesars popping a little bit.
You just try something. You never know. It's playoffs.
When you say that, it reminds me. Was it Bart or Homer that made the quote? I can't promise that I'll try, but I'll try. That's what it reminds me of. Just like, all right, why not? Dwayne Casey.
You've got to try anything. Like, you're versing the number one seed. The chances are you're not going through it anyway.
No.
You may as well bring back something that might spark in your team. You get to, doesn't matter if he re-injures him. You've got an off-season to rehab.
Yeah, I guess so. For me, it was pointless. If you are so down in that sort of sense, and I think that Dwayne Casey has said, he's like, you know, if our guys aren't willing to grind this out, then they can stay at home or whatever. Cool, I get that. But I'm going to see caution to the win. Shoot 73s, play... sub Andre Drummond out and play Blake at the five with Bruce Brown.
You've
and stuff
nothing
out there.
To lose.
Nothing to lose. Let's see some wild and wacky shit, and who knows what could happen. That could show you something you can take into next season. Obviously, they could be an incredibly different squad, the free agents, blah blah blah. But yeah, throw caution into the wind. Any other thoughts on this series, Nick? I've watched a little bit of it.
I mean, not really. I mean, I haven't really been paying you much attention. The 1-8 seeds. Generally, I haven't even been watching because such a discrepancy. But I missed that game. I missed it.
I was in bed, and then like I was in Philadelphia like the next day, and seeing like a lot of the talk show, the sport talk show stuff, and I was just like, how did this happen? A lot of people talking about that the ratings have been down in the playoffs and such. There's no LeBron James. This postseason has been awesome. The playoffs have been freaking awesome. This first round has been great. Like
we have the biggest comeback in NBA history.
In NBA history.
We've got the fights between Brooklyn and Philly.
And then the Orlando upset. The only negative, the only like afterthought is Detroit and Milwaukee. And I guess you could, if you look at it from
playing out by textbook.
And
it's
if you want to look at it from a Milwaukee perspective, it's just that they're continuing to assert their dominance, which, you know, is a storyline in itself. But, plenty of playoff talk, guys. If you want to hear any more, you know, everywhere at HGBasketball.com, all the podcasts there, hit us up. Like Nick said, all the sort of plugs at the start. We will get to a couple other minor news. Phoenix, Nicholas, would make a mistake in passing on Zion Williamson if they landed on one pick. They have a 14% chance, I believe.
That's a low chance.
Because the odds have been
flat. I know. Like,
the Knicks have the same chance as well.
I would be really, like... I know it's supposed to not promote tanking, yeah. But then if you were legitimately the worst team in the competition, you've only got a, what's that, a
1 in 7.
7%, 1 in 7 chance to get the number one pick.
Yeah.
That's rough.
Yeah.
That's really rough.
Yeah.
And especially when your number one pick is the gulf between your number one and two is so big. So yes, this was 100% a fact.
Yeah.
Because the rumors are that the Suns are going to pass for Ja Morant.
And Ja Morant is sensational and is probably maybe in his own sort of league in that sort of second sector. I know a lot of people, including Dylan Jackson, OGD Basketball, quite high on RJ Barrett. He was the projected number one pick before this college season. But Zion has established himself in a league of his own. Ja Morant had a really nice March Madness. He looks to be sort of John Wall type, for lack of a better term. And he had some outstanding games, some really outstanding performances. And is probably the best point guard, at least the most talented high upside point guard in this class. But you can't take him over Zion. Like, and this is via Sam Vecenie of The Athletic, and he's an incredibly informed source. You just can't. Like, you just can't. Like, it makes no sense. It would be like, oh, okay, so here's LeBron James, and here's
Jared Dudley.
I'm going to take Jared Dudley because he's a better fit on my team. Don't be stupid. Get the best player. Zion Williamson is a transcendent player no matter where he is.
You've heard it here first, people.
Yeah. It's the most obvious take of all time. But it's
headlines. Headlines stating Zion Williamson is good. Breaking news.
But is it surprising to you, Nick, that this is coming from Phoenix?
Like, not really.
No, exactly.
The shit show that has been literally shit show.
James Jones is now the GM there, which a lot of people are questioning to an extent, but fine. I would. Their extensive search for like finding who is going to be the GM. Hey, James, you want to be the GM? Yeah.
I feel like it's like South Park reference again, when they're figuring out how to solve the GFC.
Yeah.
They cut the head off the chicken and they just...
Yeah, and it just goes round and
with
around.
With the kazoo.
Yeah, and it's that's literally...
It just, and wherever it dies,
that's
it lands.
Robert Sarver. Robert Sarver is a South Park character, essentially. Nick, you get to play that Wizards Watch music. I want to hear it again.
Yeah, buddy.
The Washington Wizards are making noise.
I drank some bleach all the way down to the blue, and now I'm starting to feel like Harry Potter.
Killer jam, killer drop.
Absolute jams for days. Raspberry, strawberry, blue jam, if you want to call it.
Blue jam?
Because he said it got ice.
Oh, yeah. A bleach jam.
Blueberry jam.
Bleach jam.
I don't want to know what bleach jam tastes like, Dick. I
would assume it tastes like bleach.
I mean, it would, certainly. And maybe you want some bleach jam after hearing the news of Dwight Howard.
Yeah.
Dwight Howard, Nicholas, opting into his contract is the worst thing that could have happened for the Washington Wizards franchise. Jesus.
This never ends.
Oh, Jesus. We just need that soundbite. I just need that soundbite of like 3 seconds of you like crying, laughing, and that's all I need.
This is, oh man. I mean, this.
Why did you guys give him a 2-year contract anyway?
I don't know.
Like guaranteed. I player
don't
option.
No, Jack. I don't know what's going on.
Well, Ernie's gone.
I know.
See you later, Ernie. So, but
I haven't been. I haven't been on the forefront of that news. Have we hired a new GM?
You have not at this stage. It'll be interesting to see how things progress.
Yeah, I'd like to know that. I'd be curious to see that selection process.
Yeah,
maybe Ted Leonsis is in the same sort of cult as Sarver, and they've chopped the head off the chicken.
I think he's a little bit better, but maybe his head is like slightly staying on a little bit more.
I mean, worst thing. Given our recent history, it's not the worst thing.
Oh, yeah, true. There's plenty of shit that's happened for your franchise. Guess how many games Dwight played this year? This season, sorry.
25.
Nine.
Nine?
Nine. He averaged 12.8 points, 9.2 rebounds, 0.4 assists.
He was out at the start of the season, but I remember he came back relatively early, a couple of
weeks. And then he was just
in.
Out for it. 9 games.
But I thought he was out there for a decent amount of time.
He played 9 games, Dick. You paid him over $5 million for 9 games. And you're going to pay him over $5 million again.
Yeah, but how are we supposed to know that his
bum?
Injured his bum. Yeah. That's the... Did she injure
him? No, he did not. No, but like, and I think... How confident are you that he'll play more than 9 games next season?
Fuck. Don't ask me that question.
Like, if I... Over under.
I mean,
no,
sure.
Okay, let's go over under 40 games.
Under.
He's going to play less than 40 games.
I was thinking 30s.
Okay.
Which is I mean, that might be the worst. I mean, it might be the worst thing if he's got to play.
I mean, it
games.
Could be worse if you guys offer Thomas Bryant some massive contract as well.
But I think it might be. Okay, I might give him more simply because if he's healthy, he will potentially come off the bench. I'd like to see Bryant start. Invest in youth.
Yeah, why not? But don't invest too much money and ruin your franchise because you guys have thrown enough money at dumb contracts over the past 5 years.
I mean, I even like Trevor Ariza.
I don't understand why he would stay, but and why you want him to stay and why he wants to stay. It just makes no sense. I mean, I like him too. He's a good player, but he's whittling away like those sort of wing players who can add value. Like when he was in Houston, it's the perfect situation. Like he can hit threes. He's in playing winning playoff basketball. That's what Washington could. Washington aren't going to...
Oh, yeah, I get you. So his skill set is better utilized at a playoff...
It's funny, like, we started this podcast just a few years ago, and the amount of shit that I took from Nick about the Brooklyn Nets, and the time is, like, I'm going to keep it... The time has come where, like, the Brooklyn Nets have a semblance of a future, and a sustainable future, hopefully, at that, with our front office and coaching, whereas the Wizards are going to be, like, 6th to 12th, or 15th, maybe, for the next... 3 or 4 years at least.
Well, I saw like the Nets again to put this on in the Nets because I really want to talk about something positive. I saw something that was like, what was it, 5 years ago? You traded away your whole team, you traded all of your draft picks, and have won more playoff games than the Lakers and the Knicks.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty hilarious.
In that time,
it's pretty hilarious,
which is astounding. Amazing.
Yeah, guys, it's good to be back, good to be in the same room as Nicholas. And we'll do the spiel.
We'll do the spiel. Again, that just about does it for another week. So thank you so much for making it to the end. Props to you and listening to this episode.
Yeah, we're out of the 1 hour mark.
Yeah, exactly. Timing's perfect. Just Ball Things. You can catch us on the Nothing But Net Dash Radio channel. As always, you can catch us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, Blog Talk Radio, or wherever it is you listen to your podcasts. Do us a solid and leave us a rating and review. Help us out a bunch. Remember, it's you guys that make the show great, so we appreciate any and every post heading our way. So until next week.
Superstars!